It is time for another edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we bring you a podcast recapping, well, the events of Week 16 in NFL action and obviously a lot of news and notes going on in the world of the NFL. As I warned you last week, my schedule podcasting had been compromised somewhat this week by a trip to Miami. I have returned back to the confines of New Jersey. Kind of hard to podcast while you're in Miami because, you know, when you sit down, you're like, I should be outside on South Beach rather than podcasting. So I was fighting that battle throughout and then finding places to podcast. Anyways, you don't care about that stuff. You're here for one thing, and that's info on the league. Anyhow, time for the social media rundown. At Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter, Joe Montana's RightArm.com is the blog. We're on Facebook and Vine and all that good stuff. So you can find us in multiple places, and things will heat up here on the blog over the next few weeks with the NFL playoffs commencing here at the end of this week. I was sitting at work last night, and my phone started to blow up. And it wasn't a text. Well, it was a text, but it wasn't like words. There were pictures. And the pictures simply said, Chip Kelly has been fired as coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And look, man, I'm shocked. I really am, for maybe not the most obvious of reasons. I'm shocked because I did not think Jeff Lurie would pull the trigger this quickly. I thought maybe he would wait, maybe he would kind of feel out the situation after the season was over, but he went in and he closed the deal and got him out of there before the game on Sunday against the Giants. And, you know, I watched the game on Saturday night, obviously, against the Redskins. That was embarrassing. It's a disgraceful effort. And, you know, I think the thing that bothered me most is, like, look, NFL coaches have every right to me to get up on a podium and act like they know more than we do as far as the inner workings of the team go and things of that nature. I get that, trust me. But there was an element of condescending and arrogance that, to me, was unnecessary. You know, it's about scheme and culture and all that crap. And the bottom line is, yes, he won 20 games in his previous two seasons, but if you take a look at those two seasons, the same things kept happening to the Eagles, okay? They would go through these really crazy peaks and then these really crazy pits and falls. And that, to me, is not very symbolic of a good NFL head coach. And that's what Jeffrey Lurie was looking for, and he didn't get that with Chip Kelly. I thought, obviously, the biggest mistake, you know, look, if you're going to take over personnel as a head coach, and I'm not a big fan of that. I think coaches should coach and GM should pick out the personnel and what have you. But if you're going to get rid of LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin and, you know, Todd Harriman's and Evan Mathis, all these guys who really had contributed a lot of time and effort and played some solid football with the Eagles, and not replace them with quality players, to me, was that was it. I mean, that was the deal. You know, you look at the just hodgepodge group of wide receivers that are with the Eagles right now. Jordan Matthews is okay. But how many teams have we seen this season where, you know, you look at the Eagles, would you put any of those receivers with any other team that is heading to the playoffs? Like, even the Patriots with their issues right now, I think they'd probably go with their guys rather than the Eagles guys. Because, I mean, that's how bad the Eagles situation is at wide receiver. But again, Chip Kelly made it that way. Then you look at the running back situation. You pay about $20 million guaranteed, 21, whatever the figure was, guaranteed to DeMarco Murray to come in here because you want to, quote, hurt the Cowboys. That's all fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, you got to do something with that guy. And this is where the arrogance comes in. When you have a guy like that who clearly is not working in this system, they didn't do a lot to help out DeMarco Murray. Their answer was, okay, we'll take carries away from him. Are you stupid? I mean, are you stupid? That to me was just so poorly handled and mismanaged by Chip Kelly. I thought it was also mismanaged to a degree by Jeff Lurie. See, my problem with Jeff Lurie is that he wants to be the anti-Dan Snyder and Jerry Jones. Like, he doesn't want to be super hands-on. He wants to be more in the Robert Kraft mold. But my problem is this. Like, dude, when you see the train running off the tracks, you're not getting the playoffs, and you see the continuous poor play, and not even the poor play, because, hey, they've lost to some pretty good teams this year. But the level of effort in some of these games has been downright disgraceful. Like, I feel ashamed to root for a team that puts out the dreck and the crap that the Eagles put out last Saturday night against the Redskins in front of a nationally televised audience. That was disgraceful, what the Eagles did on Saturday night. I thought it was just awful. And, you know, it was symbolic of the Chip Kelly era. You have, you know, we can get between the 20s, but punching in the red zone, not our strong suit. You know, defensively, they got some names on there. But at the end of the day, they don't play well as a cohesive unit. That team, the second half of the year defensively, they just get worn out because they're on the field too much. And I think that was one of the problems. And Chip Kelly was a guy who said, culture beats scheme. There was no culture, and the scheme sucked. So then what do you have? You have nothing, and you have a team that is not going to the playoffs and now is hunting for a new head coach. As far as who the head coach should be, that's another story for another day. I don't even know what the answer is right now. You hear all these names. Sean McDermott, who's had some success in Carolina, who was formerly with the Eagles a while back. You hear maybe Adam Gase, who had success with Peyton Manning and the Broncos. I'm getting to him, too, in a second, Mr. Manning. And you have also really Josh McDaniels with the Patriots, of course. So there's some names out there. I just don't know who the right guy is for this particular program, because one of the first things Jeffrey Lurie did when he got rid of Chip Kelly was he installed his boys back in charge of player personnel. So that's going to be interesting to see how that works out moving forward. I hope it works out for the Eagles. I just don't know if we're going to be able to see this team rise back to prominence in a quick order, because, to be honest with you, the roster is a dumpster fire, okay? You look at the receivers, complete mess. The running back situation now. You might get bailed out by whoever coming in is going to maybe have somewhat of a clue offensively as far as how to use DeMarco Murray, and maybe you won't have all that money sitting on the sideline and just taking up air. So I think that'll be a big help to the Eagles. So that's, you know, those are some of the things you take a look at that maybe will play into a factor to possibly help them. But the offensive line needs work. The quarterback situation, is Sam Bradford coming back? I don't know. I don't know if he should come back. I mean, I to be honest with you, I think he's the last resort. I think you got to really take a hard look at other guys. I don't think the draft is the answer this year, in my opinion. I think you need to spend more of your assets really trying to address the offensive line and some of the skill positions before you really worry about dealing with the quarterback spot. You know, is Matthew Stafford going to be available? Who knows? People are talking about Colin Kaepernick and RG3. I don't know. And then again, a lot of that has to do, again, with who the head coach of the team is going to be. So a lot of things need to get figured out from the Eagles' perspective here over the upcoming weeks and months. But one thing's for sure, Chip Kelly is gone. I am in no way sad. I've felt prideful. And that's sad, that you feel prideful that your organization is about to hit the reset button again for the second time in roughly 4 years. It stinks that has to happen, because I got news for you, folks. If you don't think that this can get worse, you're kidding yourself. This can get a lot worse. It's just a matter of how quickly the folks that come in next can fix the problem. Now, the other thing I wanted to address before we get started with the podcast and recapping week 16, we're going to breeze through the games a little bit more, since obviously, hey, dude, it's Wednesday. You may be listening to this on a Thursday by the time you get it into your iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, what have you. This whole Peyton Manning thing with the HGH story that came out from the Al Jazeera media agency, the documentary that they put out, a couple of things first. I understand if he did do it, if he did do it, I'm not saying he did, which I'll get to in a second. If he did it, I understand. Okay. You got to think about it like this. All right. At that time in history, okay, evident that he was having issues with that neck as a part of that surgery. He doesn't know when he's coming back. He has never been a model of physical dominance from the body side. So is it the most outlandish thing to think that he took HGH in an effort to maybe regenerate some of his nerves in his neck, or, you know, just kind of stimulate his body again? I mean, if you don't think that's a possibility, come on, man. I mean, that's crazy. That's definitely a possibility that it happened. Do I think he did it? Let me put it to you like this, okay? Women do use HGH in aging mechanisms to help stave off aging. I believe Suzanne Somers used it as a way to maybe hold off the aging process. Look, I don't know Ashley Manning. She's obviously kept into the background and wants to stay in the background. But it looks really weird, dude. Looks really weird. Really weird. And the Stewart people backtracking. I think the thing that to me is the craziest element about this is if it's not true, why in the blue hell would you just randomly, haphazardly pick out the names that were picked out in this case? Okay. You have Peyton Manning. You have Clay Matthews. You have Ryan Howard. Those are three of the names. Julius Peppers as well. Like, it just seems to me like a rather hodgepodge group of guys who, you know, it just doesn't seem logical to me that you would pick those names out of a hat unless they're actually doing it. Now, the guys have come out and vehemently denied that they did it, which, I mean, look, I don't expect any of them to come out and say, yeah, I did it. I mean, especially if you're a baseball player and you say you did steroids and you had any type of career. I mean, a lot of these guys are trying to hope that they're trying to get in the Hall of Fame. Ryan Howard, I don't think will ever be a Hall of Famer, but still, would you rather have the stain and wear the stain of taking HGH and using performance enhancing drugs or not? I think that's a pretty simple answer. I'm not advocating lying, but I mean, geez, it's pretty easy to see why these guys would say no, especially during the course of a football season. Why would Peyton Manning, Clay Matthews, or Julius Peppers come out and say, yeah, I did this in the middle of an NFL season, or towards, in this case, the late stretches? I mean, that would be the ultimate party foul on their behalf. I just don't think that you're going to get an admission of guilt from them. And I don't think the media is going to dig, to be honest with you, too hard on this one from the Manning side. Because, you know, I tweeted this the other day. While I was away, I finished up the Brady versus Manning book by Gary Myers. It's a good book. But one thing becomes plainly evident when you read that book, and Phil Simms said it best, okay? Simms, when he meets with these guys for production meetings for his games, when he calls them with Jim Nance, when he talks to Peyton Manning, you really get a lot of detail. You get a lot of answers out of Peyton Manning. Okay? Tom Brady, nice guy, doesn't give you a ton. And one of the reasons why he doesn't give you a ton is who he plays for, the Patriots. So I think this literally comes down to, and I know it's going to sound weird if you're anti-Patriots, it's going to sound like spilt milk or something, but I just don't believe that the anti-Patriot folks, okay, if you don't like Bill Belichick, and you like Peyton Manning, are you really going to pursue this heavily? I think it's that simple for the media at this point. I think people like Peyton Manning, so I don't think anybody's going to go to the wall with this unless the smoking gun is handed to them. So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, too, one of the other issues with this is in 2011, that drug, HGH, was not a suspendable offense. The league really didn't test for it. I mean, as far as testing it and then suspending guys for it. So, I mean, look, if he says, I did it, the biggest black eye for Peyton Manning will be in the court of public opinion because he used HGH, maybe, and then had a huge season in 2012, record-setting year in 2013. It looks really weird. It just does. That's why, I mean, for the people who believe that he did it, it is believable that he did it. There's no question about it. But, you know, I would like to think that Manning was a little bit more savvy to get this done as far as using HGH goes, rather than have it mailed to his wife, which is just insanity. Insanity if that's what's happening. But on the flip side, why is Ashley Manning using HGH if she's not using it? If she's using it. I think those are the questions you have to think about moving forward. So, I mean, a lot to get to in terms of that story during the offseason. I'm sure we'll cover it. Speaking of Peyton Manning, breaking news on Wednesday. He is closer to being active and could very well be the backup for Brock Osweiler this week as the Broncos host the Chargers. That will be very interesting to see if they put him in the game to play. Now, the Broncos are still playing for a division title right now, so I don't think they can get too cute, so they have to keep that in mind. I think also, you know, you're playing for home field advantage potentially. So if I'm Denver, Peyton Manning has taken his last snap as a Bronco. It's that simple. I don't think he helps the team at this point. He's going to be rusty coming back, I would think. He might have some juice in that arm, but can you run the risk of putting him in there and then having something go wrong and then pulling him out and then you do this whole song and dance during the playoffs if you even get past the first game? So a lot to sift through from the Denver perspective. Okay, the rundown for week number 16 in the National Football League. It is time to start with the game of the week. The New York Jets defeat the New England Patriots 26-20 in overtime. A lot of people obviously had some conflicting thoughts on what the Patriots did in overtime. Of course, the Patriots electing to kick in overtime. Matthew Slater apparently asked three times to Bill Belichick whether or not he really wanted to kick in overtime. He did. I get it. Look, the Patriots offense has not played well, especially with that group of personnel that they had out there on the field on Sunday. The argument a lot of people have had is, well, they got Tom Brady. Well, that's great and all, and that's wonderful. But, like, he needs players to be good, like anybody else. You can't throw random guy X out there and beat a playoff team with a bunch of jabronis at wide receiver. And, unfortunately, that's what the Patriots have right now. And who knows if Rob Gronkowski's 100%. There's a lot playing into it. So I don't blame him at all. And, look, you think about it this way. What's the more likely issue to happen during the course of the game, okay? Let's go through the scenarios. Scenario one, the Patriots kick off the football and the Jets go down the field and punt, okay? That's a possibility, obviously. The Jets get the football, go down the field, and kick a field goal. That's a possibility, too. The Jets going down the field against a pretty good defense and scoring a touchdown, that is what you're hoping if you're Bill Belichick does not happen. If they kick a field goal, you don't lose the game. You're still active since it's in overtime and your team hasn't touched the ball yet. So you get a chance to match. You know, I get it. Now, in an NFL playoff game, can you do that? I don't think so. I don't think in a playoff game you can do that. I think in a playoff game you got to take the ball because, God forbid, you lose the game in overtime without really getting a chance, you know. So I think that's one of the issues that you have to think about here from the Patriots' perspective. Meanwhile, the Jets, hey, look, man, the Jets are a good football team. I like the Jets. They do a little bit of everything. They can run the ball well. You may think this is crazy, okay, but I can't believe I'm going to say this. I would not be shocked if the Jets made it to the Super Bowl. I don't think that's going to happen. Let me just say that clearly. I don't think it's going to happen, but think about the Jets for a second, all right? What can't they do? They can throw it. They can run it. And they sure as heck can defend it. They can do anything Now, can they do it as well as some of the other teams potentially in the AFC playoffs? Not so much. But I'll tell you what, man. If they were to ever play the Patriots again and they beat them, then that might be a second-round, divisional-round game. I mean, I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked at all. That's a good team, man. And, you know, the funny thing is, the one thing that's an issue for them is Ryan Fitzpatrick. And he's playing well right now. I think that's obviously the one thing you have to be very concerned about is what he can do for you as this season wears on. So, man, I like what the Jets are doing right now. And, you know, most importantly, they like what they're doing right now. The big issue for the Jets is this. They got to win this game on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, because if they lose and the Steelers win, the Jets are out of the postseason. So stakes are still very high here for the Jets, but everybody's talking about the Steelers being, you know, that team. Nobody wants to play in January. I'll tell you what, dude, I wouldn't exactly roll out the red carpet to the Jets either. Just keep that in mind. They are not a bad football team. Ryan Fitzpatrick on the road, obviously that has to make you very nervous if you're a Jets fan. But, dude, they can do and play with, I think, anybody in the AFC. Anybody. It's just a matter of what happens on that particular given Sunday. I like the Jets, dude. I'm sorry. Anyhow, the Patriots here, great drive by Brady to save the Pats bacon in regulation, driving down the field, hitting that 4th-and-9 to Gronk before the touchdown pass to James White. You know, from the Patriots side, look, they just need to get out of harm's way here and get to the bye week. They got the bye. They have that accomplished. Now, if you get a home field advantage, great. If you don't, that's not the end of the world either. I think clearly you'd much rather go to Cincinnati than Denver, but that is not in play anymore as a result of what happened on Monday night. So, look, the Patriots need home field advantage, I think, now in light of what's going on. But if they did not get it, I don't think it's the end of the world. You go to Denver, you take your chances against Brock Osweiler, and you see what happens. You know, you're not playing the 2013 Denver Broncos. Sure, the defense is a lot better than that Super Bowl version. At least they were playing that way at one point. But, man, I'll take my shot against Brock Osweiler playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl if I can get my team healthy and right heading in to the playoffs. Elsewhere, the Baltimore Ravens defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers 20-17. Just a terrible loss for the Steelers. I don't know if this number is correct because, you know, sometimes you got to fact check Bill Simmons. But listening to his podcast the other day, he mentioned that the Steelers have lost 13 times in the Mike Tomlin regime to teams under 500. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And they got swept by the Ravens this year, which is embarrassing. And if they don't make the playoffs, man, oh my God, what a waste that would be if they can't find a way to get to the postseason. Elsewhere, let me just recap and finish that up real quick. The Steelers need a loss by the Jets to get in. The Chiefs are already in the playoffs. The Jets need to lose, and the Steelers need to win in order for the Steelers to make it to the playoffs. So some critical stuff going on Sunday between the Steelers and the Jets. The Steelers will take on the Browns. They should be able to win that game. Now, it's just really a matter of what happens ultimately with the New York Jets and if they can defeat the Buffalo Bills. The Carolina Panthers fall from the ranks of the unbeaten. They fall to the Atlanta Falcons 20-13 on Sunday in their first loss of the season. Perhaps all the drama of that Giants game just sucked the energy out of them. They did not have a lot of juice in that game on Sunday against Atlanta. Cam Newton was held under 200 yards passing, carried the ball for 46 yards. We'll see where the Panthers go from here, as we're going to talk about in a little bit. There's obviously another gorilla in the NFC that the Panthers may very well hear from here in the upcoming weeks, because Arizona right now is on fire. The Texans 34, Titans 6. Brandon Weeden or Brian Hoyer, if you're the Texans right now moving forward. Big question mark, I think, if you're moving forward here in the playoff hunt for the Texans. So the Texans still have a lead over the Colts as far as heading into the playoffs and winning the AFC South. So the Texans look to be in good shape. Again, a lot of this just comes down to teams taking care of business on Sunday, which the Texans will attempt to do as they take on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. 32-17 winners over the 49ers. The Lions have played all right down the stretch. Who knows what they're going to do with Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson, 301 yards rushing by Matt or 301 yards passing, excuse me, by Matthew Stafford. Good game by him. The Bills defeat the Cowboys 16-6. That was just not a fun game to watch. Total of 6 turnovers in the contest. We'll see what the Bills have on Sunday against the Jets and whether or not they can play the role of spoiler and how hard they want to fight for Rex Ryan. The Chiefs defeat the Browns 17-13. I didn't think the game was that close despite what the score says. The Chiefs win a 9th straight game. They still have a chance to win the AFC West with a Broncos loss and a win for the Chiefs on Sunday as they take on the Raiders. Johnny Manziel, 13 of 32, 136 yards, an interception. He actually ran for over 100 yards in this game. Good effort by the Chiefs' defense. They're going to be in the playoff mix, and we'll see what kind of effort they can give you in the postseason. I just don't know with Alex Smith as the quarterback of this team whether or not they can really make that big, big run to a Super Bowl. That is going to be one of the interesting things to watch. Their defense is pretty good. That can carry them. I just don't know if that rushing attack is enough to kind of carry them through the day along with Alex Smith. The Bears defeat Tampa 26-21. Not much to speak of there. The Colts 18, the Dolphins 12. I love being in Miami, and here are the sports commentators rip the Dolphins to shreds. Just a terrible performance by Miami. Charlie Whitehurst, by the way, out for the season for the Colts. They actually had to bring in Josh Freeman and Ryan Lindley. And it's obvious, even if the Colts for some reason make the playoffs, we're not going to see Andrew Luck again this season, one would think. I mean, the guy's a lacerated kidney, for goodness sakes. Why are you putting him out on the field? He's the alleged future of your franchise. Give me a break. Cardinals 38, Packers 8. The Cardinals are the real deal, folks. They can, when you're talking about earlier the Jets, they can do a little bit of everything. 9 sacks and 4 turnovers against the Packers. And Green Bay looks like the gang that can't shoot straight right now. But I don't know if that result would be any different if they played the Cardinals 10 times. The Cardinals look that good on Sunday. The Saints 38, the Jaguars 27. So Drew Brees throws for 412 yards and 3 touchdowns on a torn plantar fasciitis, which is the same injury that Peyton Manning has. So let me get this straight. Drew Brees, 412 yards and 3 touchdowns on a, a foot that has the same injury. I'm not saying Peyton Manning's not hurt. I'm just saying, like, he's done. I mean, we can agree on that, right? He's finished. I think that's the deal. Like, you can use whatever injury you want to use to dress it up. He's finished. The man is toast city. Speaking of toast, the Vikings 49, the Giants 17. One of the worst performances of the Tom Coughlin era. Dude, it's time. It's just time to figure a way out of this Tom Coughlin situation if you're the Giants. These teams keep repeating themselves as far as how they play. And now, look, man, you go back here since the 2009 year. The Giants have made the playoffs once. That was the year they won the Super Bowl in 2011. So, they followed up though that Super Bowl run in 2007, they get to the playoffs in 2008. Plaxico Burress shoots himself in his leg. The Eagles beat them in the divisional round of the playoffs. The next year, they don't make the playoffs, and that really got a cycle going for the Giants. I mean, they just haven't succeeded here really now since that 2011 season, and by and large, it's been the average for them really dating back to 2009. So I think it's time to move on and separate from Tom Coughlin. Tom, here's a gold watch. Thanks for the memory, sir. The Vikings, meanwhile, took care of business of a team that, had zero shot of making the playoffs. The Giants knew that they weren't going to win the NFC East because of what happened in Philadelphia on Saturday night. The Vikings look ready for the Packers, but they're going to have to beat them in Green Bay, which will be a major challenge. Rams 23, Seahawks 17. The Rams, hey, they have the Seahawks number, man. The Rams figured out a way to cool off Russell Wilson, who put up okay numbers, but certainly far off from what we've seen from him over the past month and a half. You wonder here about the Seahawks if they're going to have the fortitude to win multiple games on the road, that's what they're going to have to do. But a lot of it's going to depend on that defense. The Rams, by the way, just have a formula to really get things done that a lot of teams just can't accomplish against the Seahawks. The Rams have that type of defensive personnel. And lastly, on Monday night, the Broncos defeat the Bengals 20-17 in overtime. The Bengals cough up a double-digit lead on the road and lose. A.J. McCarron suffers a left wrist injury. And, of course, the Bengals look like they're going to be able to put something together, at least maybe generate something in overtime, but they cough it up and set up shop for the Broncos to eventually grab the win in OT. And now, as a result, the Broncos find themselves in the two-seed spot. They are looking at potentially maybe getting home field advantage, because if the Patriots lose to the Dolphins on Sunday and the Broncos win over the Chargers, it will be Denver with the number one seed in the AFC. And we'll see if John Elway and Gary Kubiak will want to start Peyton Manning then, if you have the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. That will do it for the JMRA podcast. A little bit of a long one today. So, coming up, again, as we said, one more week here with the schedule issues. Should be back up and running with a podcast probably sometime Wednesday or Thursday as we take a look at round one of the NFL playoffs. Wild card weekend time. Love it. Going to be fun this year. The AFC playoffs are going to be, the whole NFL playoffs really are going to be a mess, because you have on the AFC side a lot of not a lot of continuity and really consistency, a lot of question marks for all of those teams in the AFC. And then on the NFC side, it looks like there's two powerhouses, and we'll see if somebody can step in and maybe interrupt what seems to be an impending Carolina Panthers, Arizona Cardinals NFC championship game. Maybe in Charlotte, maybe in Arizona. We'll have to see after this week, because essentially the Panthers have not sealed up home field advantage as of yet. Anyhow, that will do it for the podcast this week. You can check us out on social media at Joe M's Right Arm, on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Until next time, happy football, everybody.